international travel department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A Utah couple facing charges after being arrested on allegations of repeatedly waterboarding their 9-year-old daughter. Police in Provo say Joseph and Ilaria Mitchell would tie the girl's hands behind her back before sitting her back with a towel over her face and pouring water over it. Police say the parents also physically abused the girl in other ways, including physical beatings. Well, gasoline prices continue to be low this week, as we hear from John Clemens.
The national average is now at $2.36 a gallon. Dan McTagg of GasBuddy.com describes as an early Christmas present for motorists.
If you look at it compared to this time last week when we were paying $2.42 a gallon, we're down almost 6 cents on that front. And the news is even better. If you look at where we were, say, a month ago, we're down almost 28 cents a gallon, which puts us well over the fact that this time last year, average cost of fill up here in America was about 7 cents more expensive.
I'm John Clemens.
And Saturday Night Live comedian Pete Davidson has seemingly deleted his Instagram account after a rather dark post over the weekend. He posted he didn't want to be on this earth anymore. Davidson has been fairly open about his mental health struggles since joining SNL. He's been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and often uses that in his material on the show. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Outside our studio is at 46 when I walked in. Clear, sunny. Highs will be in the mid to upper 40s today, and lows clouding on the overnight, lows in the upper 20s. Sunny on Tuesday, high in the near 37. Clear overnight, lows in the low 20s again. Looks like more of the same for Wednesday. High and will reach around the 40s and in the 20s at night. Thursday, a little moisture coming our way. 40% chance of a little bit of rain in the afternoon and into Thursday night. And well into Friday. Friday night, slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy otherwise, low in the 40s. Clearing up again on the weekend, getting ready for the holiday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Greetings, everyone. Chef Bill here at Chef Bill's Table, WHCRDB, coming to you live on Mondays. do express our appreciation and gratitude to the chamber. We got an award last week for the show, Tell Me More. Been hosting here at the station almost since the beginning. And although the radio hosts are volunteers, I'd also like to thank our sponsors. Some of the commercial breaks you hear, people that sponsor, it's even though we hosts are volunteers, there's still some funding involved in the station, maintaining hardware, paying our fees, all that good stuff. It's not a whole lot, but actually advertising with us is a pretty good deal because when the show is on Rewind, plus the podcasts are archived, so your ads will always play. And most of all, thanks to listeners, people that tune in, whether you're a regular listener or just check it out once in a while. It's all there. The content's all there, archived at the station on the website. So anytime, right? It doesn't have to be the live show. And also, of course, anybody that wants to be on a show, especially at the table here, we always welcome guests. You can contact Chris Fallon at the Chamber or Big C, Chris Bianco. If you have a story to tell, whether you're a professional or a producer, a hobbyist, historian, author, any, you know, our topics here, anything related to food and beverages. So just, again, a thank you, and I hope we can keep going here. We've got, so, Christmas coming up. And whether you celebrate Christmas or not, most people are off that day. Business is closed. Essential services, of course, keep going. And also, of course, hotels, we count in that area. Used to work in resort hotels. Winter resort, of course, busy this time of year. Everybody wants to go skiing, and kids are off from school, so a lot of families would spend the week between Christmas and New Year's, and Lake Placid is where I worked, so it's beautiful up there. So Christmas dinner, what are we going to do? You know, we've had our discussions about gatherings and things like that. And I guess time constraints also, your scheduling, if you're doing visiting that day or if you have people coming over, it doesn't seem to get the attention that Thanksgiving does, but it's still a nice meal. We always, our family, we celebrate that way, have a nice extravaganza, kind of limit the gift exchange. In return, we just sit down and have a real nice, leisurely meal. We do it buffet style, only because people sometimes may come at odd times. I'm usually ready by 3 o'clock. That's a good time. People have already had maybe a late breakfast or something. And this way, 3 o'clock by 6 or 7 o'clock, ready to tuck in. Of course, if people have to travel, you don't want people on the road too late. And if you have to work the next day, of course, you don't want to be up too late. So 3 o'clock seems to work for dinner. Much later than that, unless it's on, and Christmas is on a weekend, then it's a different story. But when it's on a weekday, we try to have the festivities done earlier in the evening. So what are we going to cook? And most people, you like to do a roast. I know in our household growing up, the two times a year we had turkey were Thanksgiving and Christmas. Turkey's always a nice choice. It's, depending on your audience, if you're having more adults, then you can get a little bit fancier, a little more exotic. If you have kids, you need something, if you're serving, of course, rib roast, standing rib roast or filet, those are the popular beef items that people like, or even a boneless shell would work, too, if you're... The rib seems a little bit daunting for you. Many ways, to cook a rib roast. We'll go over a few of them today. Also, roasting a filet. A filet is nice because if you have different likes and preferences for the doneness of the meat, filet, because of its shape, It tapers at the end, so you can have some meat that's a little bit more well done, some that's rare, medium rare. And the nice thing about the filet is even when it's well done, it's nice and tender. I know it's an expensive cut of meat, but it's all it's nice and lean. And we're going to actually talk about a little bit unconventional way of doing a filet today. We're going to wrap it. I think Scott, thinking about foods when you're having a Christmas dinner and you're unwrapping presents, why not have food that's wrapped? I'd like to talk about, you know, a baked ham even. Do we just have the glazed ham with the pineapple and the cloves and everything, which is good, but maybe we'll wrap the ham. And also, I'd like to go a little sauce 101, sauce making 101 here. That's always, you know me, I like to make sure we have plenty of gravy, plenty of sauce. I'll give you some pointers on a basic, what we call a mother sauce, and then some variations on it. And if you have this sauce in your list of skills as a go-to, and really adaptable for almost any of the roasts you might want to serve. So the rib, the filet, the sirloin, pork, another common. I know from when we had a retail store, the crown roast, the bone-in pork loin, which is really where your chops come from. The crown roast, of course, what we call a chine bone is cut between the bones. It's formed around into a circle or an oval, and you can stuff the middle of it just like you'd stuff a turkey. And you put the little paper frills on the bones there. The bones are Frenched, of course. By that we mean the meat and the fat between the bones is trimmed out. You just have the nice clean bones showing. You could do that with a bone-in rib roast. You could do it, of course, lamb rack. You always see that way. We call it the Frenched bones there. In lieu of a crown roast, if you don't want a whole loin curled up like that, just a regular bone-in loin or boneless. I've done boneless pork loin. Boneless pork loin is actually pretty economical. You don't have to worry about temperature. It's all done the same way. We like to cook them, you know, a little bit toward the medium side now. It's the pork is safe. You don't have to worry about trichinosis. And it actually is tastier, especially some of the leaner pork that's out there now. It's almost like veal. And so a little tinge of pink in there. You don't want to cook the pork to death. If you're doing the loin cuts there. If you're doing the shoulder, doing a braise, that's one thing. Pulled pork, you're making a stew or something. But a loin or even a leg, a fresh ham instead of a smoked ham, basically a big pork roast. Pretty tasty. That's nice and lean. Very economical cut, too. But we're thinking, you know, the roast. And, of course, turkey. If you've done Thanksgiving, you can kind of do a repeat of that, maybe vary up the sides a little bit. Or a nice large roast chicken if you have a small group. For some reason, a 5 or 6 pound chicken will make you a very nice meal. We've got a break for a couple of messages here from our sponsors, and we'll be back at the table. We'll talk about buying that rib roast or the filet, what to look for, how to handle it, and then we'll do some sauces. Chef Bill's Table.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Here at the table, back at Chef Bill's table, WHCRDB, and we're going to think about rib roast, prime rib, sometimes it's called, many times, I guess it's one of those things. It's not, prime rib doesn't necessarily mean the greatest prime, that would be your first inkling. If it says USDA prime, then that's the quality grade, the highest grade, well marbled, nice color to it, but prime rib on menus, more from the standpoint of it's a primal cut. Rib is one of the what we call the primal sections of beef. You'll see that on your labels in the store. It'll always on the label will be it'll be from chuck or from rib, from loin, from round, all of those big segments there, and then you know, of course, other cuts derived from that part. So you think of the rib roast, and most shops will sell, they'll sell a 4-bone or a 3-bone. There's 7 ribs in the bone, in the roast. If you have a big crowd, of course, you may want to go, it could be, you know, 14, 15, 16 pounds. Make sure you have an oven big enough for that. Most folks, however, you know, if it's 5 or 6 people, 7, you figure a pound with that bone and fat and everything, you figure a pound per person. You're going to lose some weight with the bone. The bone is nice. The roast takes a little bit longer, but cooks a lot better when it's on the bone. just like when you have a bone-in steak versus a boneless one. That just helps, again, that little bit longer roast time, that the meat that's right there, even between the bones, very good. Normally, we have the two ends of the rib roast. So there's a chuck end, which is normally, that would many times be your three bone. Although if you go to a butcher shop, I'm sure you can ask for any number of bones. We like the chuck end, and that's a little bit more fatty, a lot more flavor. It's got, on one end, you can see three distinct muscles there. And those, especially that rib cap there, that's the best. If you want something a little bit more lean, then you would go more to the loin end, which the end of that almost looks like it's right next to where you cut a New York strip steak. The break is between the 12th and 13th ribs, and on one side is called rib, the other side is called loin. Muscle, of course, looks very similar. So leaner, you want something from the loin end. The same with a pork loin. You want it from more the shoulder, the chuck end. The structure is going to be the same. You have a little bit more marbling and fat in there, and then the leaner end, of course, toward the back. So you'll get a bone-in roast with the fat on it, or now what we use in the restaurant, we use slow cookers, of course. We cook at 250 degrees on a nice cook-and-hold oven. We use what's called an export rib, E-X-P-O-R-T. It doesn't mean it's leaving the country. It's just that's what it's called. Or it could be known as a bone-in ribeye. So it would be the eye of the rib without a lot of extra fat on it, but it would still be on the bone. This seems to be the one that works nicely. Again, it cooks a little bit quicker. The fat cap left on the rib, you get a little bit more basting, a little more, you know, it's, again, a little more slow cooking time. But you're going to peel that fat off, and unless you're rendering it to fry in, then you're going to throw it away. So the bone-in ribeye or the export rib seems to work. There's still a little bit of cover on it. And you can always, Julia Child would probably have done is take some soft butter and rub it over the top, right, to flavor it, just like when you're roasting a turkey or a chicken. Got to butter it up a little bit. And these roasters, the old way was crank the oven up to 500 degrees and put the roast in for about half an hour and let it brown up and then lower the oven and let it finish. The way we seem to do it now, it makes a little bit more sense. You have less shrinkage. When you're exposing the meat to high temperature, of course, it's tender. It can handle that. It's not going to be tough. But you lose a little bit of moisture that way. Better to start it in a low oven and then let it rest for a little bit when at the internal temperature, if you want 110 or 120 degrees for rare, let it rest for a while. Large roasts, can rest for 20 minutes or so. They'll still be hot. You want the juices to settle in there. But then at the end, you can crank the oven up and brown it at the end. There's another, if you do it at 325, which is a fairly low roasting temperature, you will still get some good browning there. But generally speaking, if you're starting at low, we cook at 250, you want to have that rib roast at room temperature or close to it. It's good to take it out of the oven, an hour or two beforehand, so you're not putting a lot of ice-cold product in the hot oven. I would be in favor of having the oven a little higher than you need it in the beginning, only because you're going to open the door, you're going to put in this, cool product, and you want the oven to come back up or recover, the recovery time, to be as brief as possible. So if you start it a little higher than you need it, put the roast in, and then turn the thermostat down to where you want it to be. It saves you a little bit of time. It gets that cooking started right away. And usually it's 10 to 15 minutes a pound. If you're cooking, say, a 4-pound roast the conventional way, just in, a 350 or 325 degree oven, it might only take an hour or so to cook. You want to have an instant read thermometer. And again, you want to take it out before it's at the doneness you like, because it will continue to cook after it comes out of the oven. Now, what I've done with ribs, or even with the filet, when you're roasting a filet, is I get it done. I always allow myself plenty of time. I like to get the roast done, let it rest. That way, if you're going to make a pan sauce, or it just helps make sure the temperature is right. You can always cook it more. Problem, if you overcook it, there's not much you can do. And if you carve it too soon after taking it out of the oven, the juice is just going to run all over the place. They're not going to stay inside the meat there. So the idea is to save that water content. You paid for it. So lower temperatures, so you have less shrinkage, you lose less moisture. You want that moisture to stay in the meat. And then, of course, after it's rested, the presentation, I mean, you can. Nice thing about the bone-in roast is that it's got kind of a rack to roast on, but you can also stand it up on end and carve that way if you're bringing it to the table. It depends on, like your Thanksgiving turkey, depends on what you're looking for. Now, if you wanted to go a boneless, which we've done, a boneless ribeye, which is a nice roast, that's another, again, cooking a little bit quicker. If you have it sitting in the pan, unless that pan starts out very hot, it's going to kind of boil. You know, you want to have a rack to set that meat on. You want the air to circulate around the roast. And if it's a smaller roast, it might be beneficial if you want to brown it a little bit first on the stovetop, so you don't have that much water loss. That's another option. And we usually do that with smaller cuts. When we roast a filet, for example, that would be probably a better move. Just brown it slightly on the stovetop, right in the roasting pan, a little oil and salt and pepper, and then roast it in the oven. But your rib roast, again, allow yourself plenty of time. Don't worry if it's done early. You put a little foil tent over it. If you need to blast it back again, it almost comes out better. It's almost like that rotisserie. I saw one method where you take it out actually before it's done, maybe 10 or 15 degrees less than rare, and then let it settle and then finish it off another half hour just before the guests come. So depending on the size of your roast and how good your oven is and how much time you have, several strategies for tackling the rib. I said, if the very worst, if you put it in at 325 with your seasoning on it and allow that, 10 to 12 minutes per pound, check it with the thermometer. You can always give it a little nudge at the end to finish it off. Now, the filet is another story. It's lean. It's the tenderloin. Nice roast. You can cut thin slices. We like to cut them, maybe an inch thick. Nice medallions out of there. You can cook this really quickly. It'd be, less than an hour, obviously. It'd be about, 35, 40, 45 minutes maybe to cook a filet. And you can almost broil it, or if you like your outdoor grill, it's put the heat on medium and even roast it that way. Just keep turning it, just like a big steak, right? Chateaubriand, if you think of the old restaurants, the Chateaubriand for two, that section of filet that would come out, and the captain would slice it up for you at the table. But that's it makes a great celebratory roast. Again, it's a little pricey, but hey, it's Christmas. You're having a special occasion here. The filet we like. Again, you can cook that at a little bit higher temperature only because it is like a steak. And it doesn't have, of course, all the fat on it there, so you do want to lubricate it a little bit, some olive oil or butter, if you like. Instead, we could brown that a little bit first. Give it about 35 minutes in the oven, let it rest. Then if you have to nudge it a little bit at the end, that's fine. But the filet, I've had been able to hold a filet. I have these slow cookers that you can set the thermostat on, and the temperature control set it at to hold it 140 or 135 degrees with the roasted vegetables. I always like to do this time of year, of course. The root vegetables work well with any kind of roast you're serving, but I'll cut up sweet potatoes, turnips, parsnips, carrots. I always throw a few chunks of portobello mushroom in there. You could do whole shallots. Brussels sprouts work if you want a little bit of a little green in there. If you don't have shallots, onions, I cut them in fairly, you know, good 1-inch cubes or so. You want them large enough so they get a little bit of brown to them to hold up well. What you end up with, those vegetables add some broth, almost it makes a nice base for a sauce also. Another advantage is, of course, you can roast them at the same time you're roasting the meat. You can either do it in a separate pan, or in the case of a rib roast, when the roast is done, take it out, you know, move it to another pan or a cutting board and let it rest, and then use that same roasting pan to do the vegetables. And you've got all that fond, any drippings from the meat, a little bit of the beef fat helps flavor them. So, or if it's if you have a good-sized pan and maybe a 5 or 6 pound roast, you may decide to do the vegetables right along with the roast. So where a bone-in roast is nice because it's up off the pan and the vegetables are in the pan roasting at the same time. Okay, so that's our beef roast. A sirloin shell, if you like, kind of in between a rib and a filet as far as expense, probably. Same thing you get your New York strip steak from. That makes a nice roast. I've done that with a salt crust. Take all the fat off of it and make the paste with your kosher salt and a little bit of water. Some recipes may call for an egg white in there. But you pack it in salt and allows it to cook inside that crust, and it doesn't come too salty. You could do a nice pepper rub on it. Again, it's a sirloin. If you're using an outdoor grill, you can almost cook it slowly like a huge steak. It's actually a steak that's a roast. But the sirloin does, if the rib seems a little bit too much for you, or if it's, you know, it's too fatty, the boneless shell would be another nice one. Now, when we're doing pork, the crown roast or bone and loin. Again, we've got the bone and loin. If you want to French the bones, you can. But I like that meat between the bones. Remember, the pork loin, that's your baby back rib. So you're getting nice tender meat all the way around. And that's where the bone and pork roasts are more expensive than boneless usually, because that the ribs are worth a lot more money. With beef, it's the opposite. Beef ribs are not worth as much as the ribeyes, so, you know, leaving the bones on there adds a little bit to the weight, but could reduce the cost a little bit. But boneless pork loin, if you want something tasty, economical, you don't have to worry about doneness, you know, whether it's rare or well done. You just, as I said, I'd recommend a little bit pink, but if you like it cooked all the way, again, slow roasting is good. You can rub it with a seasoning. I've done the Arista, the Italian roast, where you butterfly the loin lengthwise. You cut it open and put a nice garlic and basil and rosemary, fresh rosemary paste inside, and roll it back up. The flavor, if you like garlic, of course, it permeates the meat. Very nice roast. And finally, ham. Bone in ham, of course, they're always available. Ham's a nice meal. Of course, you got it's kid friendly, right? Everybody likes ham. If you're serving it earlier, you could serve it as a brunch or as a dinner. We like to, for presentation, if you like to bake it in a pastry shell. Again, thinking of things that are wrapped. I'm not a fan of puff pastry when it comes to, like, Wellingtons, things like that with the meat inside. Sometimes the puff pastries, it's good on the outside, but it might get a little a little flabby when it's next to the meat. You've got it's buttery, but puff pastry to me needs to be nice and crispy, like a tart shell, a little pastry shell, Napoleon, things like that. Ham is nice. Use a pie dough. I mean, if you have a favorite pie crust, or if you even want to buy them, what we do is, and this would work with a boneless ham very well. I like to brush the ham with mustard, and you roll out the pie shell and wrap the ham in the pastry. If you have any scraps left, you can cut little figures out. If you want little half moons, little flowers, you use a little bit of egg wash to help the pastry brown nicely. And that would also be your kind of your glue for sticking the cutouts on there. But you could put some nice decorations on that if you like. And then we'll go 375. You want it to brown a little bit. The smoked hams are already cooked, so you're just basically looking to warm them through. You want to bring them to that 155 degrees for safety reasons. But the ham is going to kind of steam in that pastry shell instead of drying out. So, again, trying to preserve all that product that you paid for.
How many times must I say I love you before you finally understand?
And poultry, I said, of course, turkey, chicken, be doing stuffing. Just like Thanksgiving, you could do that. But the side dishes are where we can make the difference here with your family traditions or your cultural background, or even like I'll do. I mean, we're not of Italian descent, but one of my side dishes is a lasagna. It's one of those things somebody could have as a first course, if you like. You can have as a side dish. It's just another thing. You know, the oven's on anyway, and it holds up well if you're doing a buffet style, and, you know, it's not going to go to waste either. It's always good the next day. You can always warm it up. So a little trick with the filet, if you want to talk about something wrapped, and this could even be a little economy move too. You could kind of stretch out the filet. It's an expensive piece of meat. You want to have a center cut. So, you know, out of a 6 to 8 pound filet, you're buying the whole thing, of course. By the time you trim it out, you probably end up with 4 pounds. It's about a little over 50% yield from a full filet. Or if you can get your butcher to trim you up a nice, you want a nice, what we call a barrel cut there. You want it uniform, so it'll look like a log of filet, right? With that, you'll need a pound of lean pork and a pound of lean veal, and you're going to be grinding these. Now, if you see nice lean veal and pork, oftentimes you'll see that as part of a meatball mix, or the stores will have it. You could just grab a pound of each. You'll need a half cup of minced onion, a couple of teaspoons of minced garlic if you like, a third of a cup of heavy cream, 4 egg yolks, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, a teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce in there, and a little bit of dried tarragon, a teaspoon of dried or a tablespoon fresh, and some grinds of black pepper. So what you do, you have the trimmed filet, all the other ingredients there, right down through the seasoning, the pork, the veal. If it's already ground, you're going to mix those together. Otherwise, if you have cubes, you'll just probably in a couple of batches, you'll pulse the meat in the food processor to grind it. You don't want a paste, but you want it fairly well ground. When you're doing, you know, if you think of it, you're kind of making a meatloaf or a pate. So you want that to chill for a couple of hours. You have to be able to handle it. So after you've mixed it together, the ground meats, the onion, egg yolk, the seasoning, chill it down well, and then with a couple of sheets of wax paper, you're going to roll out a big rectangle. And we're going to wrap the filet with this, what we call a force meat. So 2 sheets of wax paper, the meatloaf, I'll call it meatloaf, force meat mixture is going to be a little bit sticky. But again, that nice rectangle, and you'll be able to pick up, you know, take the top sheet of wax paper off, lay the filet on the meat, and then using the wax paper to pick up the forced meat, that'll help you wrap it around the filet. And you can peel the paper off easily. And so the seam side down, so it's going to look like a big meatloaf. 375 degrees. We're going to cook this, you know, a fairly high temperature because you want the outside to brown. It'll be about 40, 45 minutes. And you'll have, again, what looks like, you know, you'll check the internal temperature with the thermometer. But what happens is the filet, instead of a Wellington that's in pastry, you have to brown the meat first, and you got the soggy pastry. This is wrapped with this force meat. It's going to obviously flavor the filet. It also helps it cook very evenly. The filet is kind of cooking inside this force meat crust, so the force meat's going to be well done, which it should be, ground veal and ground pork, but it's tender. It's ground. It's got the egg yolk and the cream in there. And you do your nice slices. It's got the. I've done this even with individual portions of filet. You can use a little bit smaller piece of meat and then wrap it with the forced meat, roast it, and simply cut it in half and serve it. I've done this in fancy restaurants. Very nice dish. Very nice way to approach the filet. Messages here, and when we come back, we're going to do the sauce primer here. We're going to make a sauce that would be good for whether you're doing pork, ham, beef, even something adaptable for chicken or turkey. We'll be back at the table.
Oh, I've always been.
Help make your community safer. Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers is a community-based program aimed at making our communities safer by providing an avenue for citizens to anonymously report criminal activity. It provides monetary rewards if the information leads to an arrest and indictment. See something, say something, and get cash for your anonymous tip. Call or text 1-800-321-0010 or go online to www.crimestoppershunterdon.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table here, so hopefully we've got your roast picked out, and now we need to make a sauce and gravy. You know, even if you are having turkey and you just had a Thanksgiving, you may want to vary the sauce a little bit, right? Still going to taste good, but we don't have to go traditional all the time. So I'm proposing a Madeira sauce. Madeira is a fortified wine from the island of Madeira. Similar to, if you think of sherry and port, fortified wines, of course, higher alcohol, preserves the wine, usually around 18% or so instead of 12 or 13%. Makes good cooking wine. You're seeing it starting to come back as, you know, cocktails, especially with tapas out there. You know, some nice dry sherries are being consumed again. Marsala is another fortified wine, normally just associated with dessert. But these wines, a lot of time goes into them. The Madeira has got, if you think of how sherry tastes, Solera, that cooked process, the sun, because it's kind of the, I don't want to say burnt taste, but cooked taste. And Madeira is similar to that, but very delicate. Again, it's not, those wines were popular years ago when wine was shipped on actually a ship, and all the rocking and the hostile environment, the wines that were fortified, of course, held up better during shipping than your regular table wines. So Madeira sauce is a flavor that, think about it, served with beef. A lot of times you'll see it with tornados, with filet medallions. But also that sherry flavor, it goes very well with ham. I've done a raisin sauce, a sherry and raisin sauce with ham, using a little bit of sherry vinegar even to offset the raisin sweetness, and complements it very well. We're going to make a brown sauce, an Espanol. And with this base, you can make some variations, one of them being, of course, the Madeira sauce. If you have this sauce, a good brown sauce in your repertoire, you'll never want for any kind of gravy or sauce going with the roast. And even with turkey or chicken, we can turn this into a nice sauce that would complement those items. So beef stock, of course, in commercial kitchens, you know, we're making stock all the time, so we have a little advantage. If you're making what's called a demi-glaze, you take that beef stock and reduce it till it's thick and syrupy. Of course, there's no salt in it, so you don't have to worry about that. Most of us, though, if you're going to the store, you've got to, I think there are some glazes and concentrates out there. You're seeing some now that, like, instead of using bouillon cubes, but you can even find some good broths out there. But if you want to take a beef broth and turn it into something with a little more flavor to it, I've done it with canned broth. If you say you got 4 cups of broth, you do about a quarter cup each of fine chopped onion and carrot, a couple of tablespoons of chopped celery. So this is our mirepoix. Usually when you're making stock, this is what's in there. Broth oftentimes is just the meat juices, doesn't have the gelatin in it. But adding these vegetables will help. A little bit of, a cup of dry wine. You could use red or white wine, as long as it's dry wine. You don't want to use a sweet wine in there. Then we have our herbs, our sachet, which is half a bay leaf, a sprig of thyme, or an eighth of a teaspoon of dried thyme. Few sprigs of parsley. You can throw the stems in there too. You're going to strain it off. And then a couple of teaspoons of tomato paste. You want that little bit of richness in there. And actually, you know, I've used ketchup. If I'm making even a beef juice for prime rib, that little bit of, you've got the concentrated tomatoes, you got that, you know, that little bit of vinegar and sweetness in there. It's one of those perfect sauces, and, you know, you only need a couple of teaspoons, but surprisingly how it will add a little bit of body to that stock. So that's turning your canned or bottled beef broth into something a little bit stronger, a little more flavor to it. Now, for the brown sauce, we have to, of course, make a roux. And we're going to add some more vegetables. I know it seems redundant, but in classical cooking, this is what will happen. You'll have your broth or stocks made out of, with some aromatics in it. Then when you're making your sauce, you will add even more.
They call Alabama the Crimson Tide.
So we're going to make what's called an Espanol or brown sauce. We're going to start with a quarter cup of butter oil. We're going to make a rule. I've been using canola oil a lot lately. It doesn't have any flavor to it. Butter, if you're using whole butter, you've got a little bit of water and milk solids in there. And when you're trying to make a roux, it's sometimes you get a little bit of lumps in there. So I've been more of a fan of a neutral oil. You'll have a clove of garlic minced. If you want just the flavor, I would just crush it. Then you can take it out after a little bit of cooking there. Just get that garlic flavor. A medium onion chopped. You're going to saute that in the oil till they're soft. And then add a quarter cup of flour. And then you're going to stir that. You could use a whisk. You could use a wooden spoon. But you want the flour to brown a little bit. That's going to give another flavor. You want to make what's called a brown roux. The roux is R-O-U-X. You don't want it to burn. If you burn it, throw it out and start over. It's not going to get better. So you'll stir this for a few minutes, medium heat. You have about 3 cups of your brown stock or broth. You're going to whisk that in, and we like to do it. I like to do the additions in threes. So a third of the volume of the broth goes in. You're going to whisk that. It's going to get very thick, then another third, then another third. Make sure you're whisking all the edges of the pan, get all the roux incorporated there. You'll need a half cup of tomato puree. That, again, we're going to enrich this. Half teaspoon of thyme, again. Put another bay leaf in there and some parsley and some black pepper. And you're going to simmer that for about 40, 45 minutes over low heat. Let it reduce a little bit. It's going to cook out that flour taste. So now you've got this mother sauce, this brown sauce, that you can use for many things. You're going to strain it to get your onion and garlic and everything out of there, all the herbs. And you could freeze this. You could store it for a few days in the refrigerator. So if you're doing a roast, if time is a problem, you have this brown sauce made, and then you could turn this into something as simple as your pan gravy from your roast. Or what I'm suggesting is a Madeira sauce. And once you have this Espanol or brown sauce, you're going to heat up, if you heat up 2 cups of this, the ratio is 2 cups of the brown sauce and a half cup of Madeira. And you're going to just simmer that for about 10 minutes. You want, you know, some of the alcohol is going to cook out of there. And, of course, the Madeira is going to thin the sauce. You want it to reduce back down to a couple of cups. And now this sauce is good with the beef. It would be fine with the pork, that sherry and the pork and the ham. It would be a nice complement to the ham, a nice Madeira sauce. Even if you've served this, if you did a poached asparagus wrapped with ham as a light lunch dish, the Madeira sauce would do very well over that. Another variation of this, and I would think of this with pork, a Robert sauce. Or even with chicken. This is a good one. You've got your brown sauce, so you've got that aside. Take a tablespoon of butter or oil. In this case, the whole butter would be fine. We're not going to make another roux. A small onion minced. A quarter cup of dry white wine. Quarter teaspoon of sugar. And 1.5 teaspoons of Dijon mustard. So you mix that together. Let the onion cook a little bit. The wine's going to reduce a little, then you add your 2 cups of Espanol and let that simmer. You've got this nice, it's got that little mustard in there, a little sweet, you've got more wine, and we already put wine in the brown sauce, and then we're going to use it again, right? So that would be your Robert sauce, and take that up another step. If you julienne some Cornichon pickles in there, you'd have a charcuterie sauce, good with sausages, things like that. If you ever want a sausage to serve with, a gravy to serve with sausage. Another variation on this would be a chaussure or a Hutter sauce. And this would be good with pork or chicken. Again, anything, even take it in a different direction than your normal turkey gravy. Again, we've got a half cup of white wine, or dry vermouth would be even better with all the herbs and botanicals that are in there. Dry vermouth's a great cooking wine. A quarter teaspoon of dried tarragon. You just crush that a little bit to release the oils. A couple of tablespoons of butter. We're going to saute a half pound of mushrooms sliced. A minced shallot. And a couple of tomatoes peeled, seeded, and chopped. So I know we have tomato in the Espanol already, but we're going to add some of this for texture. A couple, two or three Roma tomatoes. Nice meaty ones there. So you've got your mushrooms, shallot, and tomatoes. Flavor that little tarragon. Again, white wine or vermouth. Add your 2 cups of Espanol, and you've got what's called a Hutter sauce. That one, yeah, would be nice for that wrap filet, too. The tarragon's reinforced in the sauce. You've got some mushrooms and tomatoes. A little bit more body. A little more stuff in there. So, anyway, one sauce for everything. Learn how to make that. Learn how to make brown sauce. And try that Madeira sauce with any of your roasts. We've got to head out at the end of the hour. Have a safe holiday. Remember to drink plenty of water. Catch you on the next show. Chef Bill signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former FBI Director James Comey remains behind closed doors, being questioned again about his handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation and the early stages of the Russia probe. Julia Manchester is a reporter for The Hill. She says this is Republicans' last chance to question Comey in this way.
Their narrative, while they've been controlling the House during the Trump administration, is to try to investigate alleged bias at the Justice Department and the FBI. So there has been this back and forth. So they're trying to fit in the last time they can with Comey while they're in power.
She was speaking on CBS News. North Korea warning the U.S. that increased sanctions could spark Pyongyang to build more nuclear weapons. The response coming after Washington announced sanctions on 3 North Korean officials for reported human rights abuses. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed, but that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Exciting things happened over the last 24 hours.
President Trump speaking at the congressional ball on Saturday night, referring to the federal judge's ruling on Friday that the Obamacare Act is in its present form unconstitutional. Republican Senator Susan Collins saying she believes that ruling is going to be overturned on appeal. But the Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill says
the individual mandate is the linchpin, so it covers the entire aspect of the Affordable Care Act. So if you remove that tax, then the individual mandate fails, and right. Congress itself said that the individual mandate was what made Obamacare work in the first place.
He was speaking on Fox and Friends. Storms causing trouble in the east and west today. On the east coast, they're still rescuing people and trying to dry out after several days of record rainfall, especially in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. Meanwhile, in Northern California, waves